Good morning. It's good to see you. I'm glad that none of you are soaked and you all made it. You may have had to get in your boat to get here, but we're glad you made it. We've been talking about the Beatitudes, and so we're going to be in the book of Matthew again. If you want to go to chapter 5, we've been taking it because they are one at a time. We've been taking kind of a verse at a time right now. Later on, we'll speed up and get a few more verses. But today we'll be in verse 5, and verse 5 says that the gentle are blessed because they will inherit the kingdom, or they will inherit the earth. The gentle are blessed, for they will inherit the earth. And we've been talking about these oxymorons, these seemingly opposite concepts that when put together don't make a whole lot of sense until you really unpack them and really understand what they've been doing. And I've given you a few examples of oxymorons, and let me give you a couple more today. How about this? A fine mess. You ever been in a fine mess? That seems a little oxymoronic. What about a little big? Right, that shirt's a little big on you. Or maybe this, adult children. Adult children. And then last but not least, almost ready. Us men who have wives, we know almost ready is definitely an oxymoron, right? Your wife says, I'm almost ready. It's a lie. It's going to take a little while. And so these are oxymoronic statements. These are statements that are seemingly antithetical to one another. And when we get to the gentle will inherit the earth, we begin to think about that statement and we're like, that makes absolutely no sense. We looked at the poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom of God. We looked at those who mourn will be comforted. And now we look at those who are gentle will inherit the earth. Maybe your Bible may translate a different word for that. A lot of times the word meek is used there. So you may hear the words or the phrase, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit. So meek, gentle, these words are being used synonymously. And so what I want us to get today is that when we practice gentleness and when we live in a life of gentleness, a whole new world is our inheritance. And I want us to begin to think less of ourselves. Really to think of ourselves less. And so as we get into this text, I want to unpack what this means. And so the verse says, the gentle are blessed, for they will inherit the earth. What do we learn from this? The first thing that that we see is that there is a call to gentleness. God calls us to gentleness. Jesus is calling his followers to gentleness. You gotta live in a certain way that is gentle. And this causes us to be really surprised because it is completely opposed to everything we're taught. That if you want to inherit some, or if you want to triumph over some, if you want to win the day, you want to conquer certain, you've got to be strong and you've got to be aggressive and you've got to be dominant. You got to be powerful. You got to go get what you want. And so this phrase makes no sense. This teaching really makes no sense. The gentle will inherit the earth. And this is really antithetical and really different from what the people expected at the time. They were expecting a Messiah to show up to overthrow the military powers, to set up not only a kingdom of God, but also a kingdom of their time. And Jesus is saying, forget about your materialistic, forget about your military kingdoms. If you're going to be gentle, you'll inherit the kingdom. If we're going to be gentle, you inherit the kingdom. And Jesus just really crushes this concept. Now, the Beatitudes are connected. This is what we call this list of phrases or this list of teaching here. They're connected. You see, they kind of build on one another. Unless we are poor in spirit, unless we're able to recognize the sin in our lives, we won't mourn. And unless we're able to mourn and recognize our utter sinfulness, our utter helplessness in reaction to what God has done, unless we're able to do that, we will never be gentle. Now we've looked at these, and gentle just kind of it really cranks up the scale now. See, because the other ones were introspective, where I look at myself, where I see my sin and like, I'm in trouble. I am sinful. I am broken. I am messed up. And then we say, God, in light of my sin, and I see your holiness, and I recognize that, and so I mourn over that. But then we get to gentle. That is how other people see us. That is not just the way we look at ourselves, it's how other people see us. So I may say, I'm a sinner, and you can name whatever sin. But when someone else says, you're a sinner, we start to push back and say, whoa, hold up now. Why are you pointing me out? What about you? And we get defensive and we're like, yeah, but don't look at my sin. I can call myself a sinner, but don't you do it. It's like saying, oh, I'll talk about my sister or my brother, but you better not. And we don't want people to point out our sin. And when we're gentle, when we are meek, we begin to recognize that we need to be a little more humble, a little bit more, and even sometimes it's humiliating. So, who knows what it means to be gentle? What does it mean to be meek? I think Scripture gives us some examples of this. And if we're going to understand what it means to be gentle, if we're going to understand what it means to be meek, you need more than just definitions. So let's look at some examples. Who is a meek person? Normally, when we think of who a meek person is, we think of someone who's quiet, someone who's nice, someone who's laid back. We get this concept of the church mouse, you know, who's meek in the cartoons. You know, you're just this quiet, poor in the corner, not saying anything, not causing any stirring, not doing anything. They're just meek and mild and quiet over there. But I think what it means to be gentle and meek is really different than that. If we look at some examples, if we go to the Old Testament, Abraham was a guy who was meek. He was a guy who let other people do things that may have been taking advantage of him. For example, if you think about the story of when Abraham and Lot say, okay, look, our guys are fighting, our herdsmen are fighting, and we need to split up the herds because there's just too many animals in one spot. We got to split this thing up. And Abraham says, Lot, you pick first. And he lets Lot pick, and Lot goes after Lot's desires. And Lot picks the best possible area for his herds. He picks the one that has the best grass. He picks the one that has the best water. And Abraham allows him to do it without murmuring, without complaining, and he allows him to take advantage of him because guess what? Lot has no reason for picking the best stuff when he's just always, throughout his whole life, tagged along with Abraham, and Abraham has brought him along. But Abraham's gentle, he's meek, and he allows Lot to do it. What about a guy like Moses? We've looked at Moses in the last few months, and we've looked in the book of Exodus, and Scripture actually says that Moses was the meekest person. He, even though in his faults and in his failures, he allows God to direct his path. He allows God to change the script. He allows God to call him out of the desert and to call the people of Israel into freedom. Moses allows God to mess up his plans. And he's humbled and he follows God's lead. Now, we wouldn't say Moses is meek. We wouldn't say Moses is a wimp. I mean, he actually beat somebody to death. I wouldn't talk bad about him to his face. You know what I'm saying? Because I've never done that. I don't plan on doing it, but, I mean, he'll knock you out. And so Moses is not some weenie. He's even allows other people to speak in his life and give him advice that he doesn't really solicit. Because Moses, at one point, he's having all these people come to him and say, Moses, fix my problems. And then Moses' father-in-law says, Moses, you need to set up some barriers around you. You need to get some other people involved. Get yourself 70 elders and let them handle problems. And if they can't handle it, then bring it to you. And Moses implements this. Moses is a meek guy. He's a gentle guy. What about David? David is a fighter. I mean, he kills a giant. He cuts his head off. Yet, he knows he's going to be the next king, and Saul comes after him. Saul, the current king, comes after David, and he wants to kill him. And David has a couple of opportunities, at least that we know of, to kill Saul or to hurt Saul. Yet David, in his gentleness and in his meekness, allows Saul to walk away. Jeremiah, a prophet, a preacher, he's told, hey, you're going to tell the people some of the worst news they can get. You're going to tell the people that they are going into exile. They're going into captivity. And everybody else around you is going to be saying, Jeremiah has lost his mind and he's lying and you need to get rid of him. And you're going to have people come after you. Nobody's going to want to listen to you. Yet Jeremiah goes and he preaches and he declares God's word. We go to the New Testament. We got a guy named Stephen who is the first martyr or the first guy to get killed as a Christian. He is there. He is declaring God's goodness and he's preaching and the people say, I don't like your message, and they start throwing rocks at his head. I hope you don't have any rocks in your pocket. And so Stephen, in the act of being killed, asked God to forgive them. That's a picture of what it means to be meek or gentle. What about Paul? Paul's one of the smartest guys in the New Testament. Paul's been through so much, and he's given his life to all of these churches, and then they start talking bad about Paul. Like, man, Paul has this message, but he's not that good of a preacher. He's not that great. And, man, he may have baptized you, but Peter baptized me. And then other guys, yeah, but Peter, who's Peter? Apollos baptized me. And Paul is heartbroken, but he says, guys, it ain't about me. It's about God. It's a picture of gentleness. It's a picture of meek. Last but not least, you got Jesus Christ himself, who's the creator of the universe. He speaks and things show up. And he is beaten. And he is taken captive. He is betrayed by his inner circle. One of his good friends betrays him. And what does Jesus do? He never says a vile word. He never says anything to hurt them. He never does anything. He submits to the Father. What is his enemy? What is his attitude toward his enemies? Does he hurt them? Does he hurl things at them? No. He's on the cross. He has a conversation with a guy dying next to him. And he never talks bad about those who are killing him. You go to Philippians chapter 2, and Paul's writing this letter to the Philippian church, and he says, we need to have this same mind of Christ. The Christ who humbled himself, even to the point of death, and death on a cross. This is what it means to be gentle. This is what we see as true humility. So these are all examples for us of gentleness and meekness, but what do we learn from that? What are the things that we begin to pull out of that? What are some attributes of gentleness? First of all, gentleness is not a natural quality. Gentleness is not a natural quality. It is produced by the Spirit. It's not a personality trait like a lot of people think. Someone who's quiet, someone who's nice, someone who doesn't push back. It is not natural. David, let's go back to David. The guy was a soldier. He's a general. He's a fighter. Yet he's known as being meek. Paul, he's a guy who is known for murdering Christians, yet he is a guy who is meek. It's not someone who's laid back. It's not someone who is lazy. It's not someone who is easygoing. It's not someone who's nice. It's not someone who's born sweet. It is not natural. It's not a weakness of character either. It's not a spirit of compromise. Oftentimes, this is mistaken for gentleness. Secondly, gentleness is compatible with great strength. It's compatible with great strength. It's the ability to let someone else go first, even though you may deserve to. And we think of people who are strong, yet they are gentle and meek. We think of Jesus. We think of guys like David. We think of maybe the martyrs, those guys who gave their life year after year and day after day for the cause of Christ. These people were not wimps. They marched proudly to their deaths because of their strength, not their weakness. Third, greatness is more of an inward spirit than an outward manner. It's more of an inward spirit than an outward manner. And so gentle are someone who has the ability to control their mouth. When you want to lash out on somebody, yet you don't do it. That all starts on the inside, not necessarily on the outside. It's keeping your mouth shut when you really want to go off on someone. Fourth, characteristic of gentleness is that gentleness is really a true view of yourself. It's a true view of yourself. A lot of us try to pump ourselves up and think great about ourselves. Yes, it is. It's not that I want you to think bad about yourself, but you need to understand who you really are. This goes back to being someone who sees themselves as the sinner that they are, the person who is out of relationship with God, the person who has done things that God tells you not to do, the person who is disobedient. And then in doing so, you begin to mourn that, and you begin to seek repentance, and you begin to change your life, and you really understand who you are compared to Christ. It's twofold. It's an attitude toward myself, not thinking of myself greater than I should, but it's also an expression of that relationship to others. So how do I treat people? How do I let people treat me? The fifth thing that an attribute of gentleness is that gentleness is a lack of pride. A lot of us get taken down by our pride. You will never be meek until you are poor in spirit and you mourn. And when you do that, your pride just melts away. Someone who's proud about themselves is not someone who is gentle. Someone who thinks so highly of themselves is not someone who is gentle. Someone who glorifies themselves is not this person. Again, Philippians 2 says, "Let the mind of Christ be in you." And then he goes on to tell you what Christ did, who humbled himself, who took on the form of man, who gave his life. It's a picture of humility, a picture of gentleness. Jesus did not assert his right to be God. John Bunyan said it like this, he that is down need fear no fall. Think about that. He who is down need fear no fall. In other words, it's not going to hurt because you're already down. Sixth, gentleness means that you are completely approachable. Even if someone hurt you, they do not fear you because you are approachable. Look how Peter describes Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, he did not commit sin, and no deceit came from his mouth, being Jesus. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. When they came after Jesus, Jesus did not come after them. He says, I could have. Could call 10,000 angels and we can end this whole thing. But instead, he doesn't. Seventh, gentleness is the ability to learn and to listen. In other words, you're teachable. You don't know it all yet. And last but not least, gentleness is surrendering yourself to the Spirit. Allowing God to direct your path and God to tell you where to go and God to tell you what to do and saying, God, we're not going to do it my way. We'll do it yours. And I surrender all I am to you. So now that we see what a picture of gentleness is that something that reflects who you are? I wonder, I mean, a lot of these, as I went through these and I wrote these down and I began to ponder on them and think through them, and I was thinking, man, I need to work on that one and I need to work on that one, and whew, why does that one have to be an attribute? Where do you fall in these list of attributes? Would you consider yourself gentle? Would others consider you gentle and not weak-minded or not weak-spirited or not a sissy, not someone who is just quiet and laid back and lazy, but gentle in the biblical sense of gentle. Because when you are gentle, the inheritance is fabulous. Says the inheritance of gentleness. God says, blessed are the gentle or blessed, for they will inherit the earth. Now think about this. Again, the gentle are not the people who you think of as the conquerors. So how are they going to get the earth? I think it's twofold. I think in the first way, it's a now in my life. As a gentle person, I can inherit the earth in this lifetime. Because a truly gentle person is satisfied and you're content. A truly gentle person is satisfied and content. Think about, again, Philippians chapter 3 is probably one of the most quoted sections in Scripture and one of the most misquoted sections in Scripture. Basically, what Paul's saying is this. He's saying, hey, you guys sent a gift, and I appreciate it. You have no idea how much I am thankful for the gift. Not necessarily that I got a gift, but that you guys thought of me. And not only did you think of me, I want you to understand something, that I've learned what it's like to have a lot, and I've learned what it's like to have a little. And you need to learn this too. I know what it's like to be hungry, and I know what it's like to be well fed. I know what it's like to have abundance, and I know what it's like to have nothing. And then he says this. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is not a call. This is not a prayer that we pray for God to help us get something that we may not deserve. It's not a prayer for us to be able, like, God, I need to pass this test even though I didn't study. Let's go get them. This is not a white boy who's 5 foot nothing and pretty round who can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to go dunk this ball on a 10-foot goal. That's not what I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me means. What it means is this: I have learned to be content in all situations because Christ is with me. And those who are gentle understand this concept. Those who are meek understand what it means to be okay where you are and to be content and to be satisfied so that no one can give you anything that'll make you more satisfied. But it also has this futuristic concept. In Romans chapter 8, it says that those who are children of God will also get an inheritance. And the more we look at Scripture, the more we read Scripture, we come back to this idea and we come back to this promise of a new heaven and a new earth. And that our inheritance, number one, is satisfaction in the life we have today. When we are gentle, when we are meek. But in one day, God is going to recreate the heavens and the earth, and he gives it to his children as inheritance. It's a pretty awesome promise that I can be okay with this life. I can be gentle. I can think less of myself or think of myself less. I can love others, and I can be okay in whatever situation I'm in. So what we learn today is that being gentle is impossible for the natural man. It is not something that a natural person may be. They may be laid back, they may be lazy, they may be quiet, but they're not gentle. It's only possible through the Holy Spirit. And if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. So it means we have no excuses for not being gentle, for not being meek. And it is a character trait that is produced by the Spirit. It's like one of the fruit of the Spirit, even though it's not listed in Galatians. Would you be characterized as someone who is meek or someone who is gentle in the way that I just described it? This is something that we as believers, someone who is a Christian, someone who has given their life to Christ, this is an attribute that should characterize all of us. Does it characterize you? As Drake plays, I want to give you a few minutes to respond to that, to think about that, to think through that. Would you be considered gentle, or would you be considered someone who is out for themselves, who's full of pride, who says, I'm going to conquer this? Someone who allows the Spirit to change you and to guide you, not someone who's meek or has a character flaw, but someone who gives their all, who finds satisfaction in Christ. Are you gentle? As Drake plays, I invite you to stand. You could pray wherever you are. You could come up here and pray at the altar. I would love to pray with you. If you want someone else to pray with you, if you want to speak to one of our staff, just grab them. Whatever's going on in your life, we want to be here for you. So spend this time with the Father. Spend this time with God. And we'll close in a little bit. Father God, we thank you for the Spirit. We thank you that He leads us and He guides us. And God, I pray that we would be people who are receptive to that. God, I pray that we would be influenced by Him, and that we would be characterized as people who are gentle, people who are meek, that we would not consider it a weakness, but God, I pray that it would be a part of who we are. And Father, we thank you for giving your life for us and rising again and promising us that one day that we will get an inheritance. So, Father, I pray that we would be people who are gentle and that we would inherit what you promised us. And God, I pray that you would be with us this week. Pray that we would work on this idea of gentleness with those around us at work, at home, in daily life. In your name we pray. Amen.